Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we're here with
Michael Lumpkin, Director of AFI Docs Film Festival.
It's a treat every year. We love this festival every year. What year are we in now?
We are in year 15.
Wow. Actually. Hard to believe.
Yeah.
First of all, before we dive into the movies, what venues are we at again this year?
Well, we're at the Newseum, which is our gala venue. Big screenings every night at the Newseum. We're at Landmark East Street again. On East Street, and also the AFI Silver Theater up in Silver Spring.
How many films did you guys consider this year, and what did you pare it down to?
We had over 2,000 entries, so a lot, and that was a significant increase over the previous year.
Yep.
We did a lot of kind of additional outreach. It's kind of making sure we're covering everything, finding things, and then that's pared down to 112.
Wow.
So it's a process.
I can imagine.
And, and often a really hard one in that so many great films that we couldn't squeeze into, the festival this year. So that's the hard decisions having to say no to some great movies.
Okay. All right. Well, let's dive into some of the movies.
Yeah.
So let's move a little chronologically. So opening night, we at the Newseum, which is a great spot to do the opening thing every year now.
Yeah.
What do we got?
Yeah.
Icarus.
Icarus, a great film. This is the film premiered at Sundance in January. This is its first screening since then. It's a great, it's a sports film on the surface, and then it quickly turns into a really taut political thriller. And it's also a sports film.
Explain what it's about. Explain what it's about.
Well, it's about a biker, kind of a professional biker, who sets out to try to replicate what Lance Armstrong did with drugs and, increasing his performance. And he starts investigating, looking into this online, and kind of like, how do I do this?
The whole doping scandal.
And he was going to be totally transparent with it. He wasn't trying to hide it. He was going to do it and see how his performance improved. And he kind of quickly runs into some doctors and people involved with the kind of sports doping scandal in Russia. And it just kind of all unwinds from there and just becomes kind of multiple jaw drops of more information. So it's kind of one
timely.
and it's a thing where you at least for me, it's like, you heard about that and kind of being banned from Sochi and then the ban from the Olympics, but you're getting like the entire backstory and all of the interesting details. And and along the way, he meets like this doctor, this Russian doctor who kind of made that all happen for Russia. And he's a great character, a great guy. And he's like kind of becomes the star of the film.
Oh, my God. This is fascinating. So it starts, you think you're watching like Breaking Away, and it becomes, I don't know, 7 Days in May or All the President's Men or something. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So that's Wednesday night, opening night. Okay. What do we have in store the next day on Thursday?
On Thursday, one of the films we have we're showing is a new Discovery film, Mosquito, which is about how climate change,
very topical.
So how climate change and the warming of the Earth is increasing the territory of mosquitoes, and therefore increasing the prevalence of mosquito-borne illnesses in the world. And so it looks at several great characters, people working on that problem, scientists, government officials, people who are trying to figure out what to do about it. So a very interesting film.
Paris Accord decision.
Cool. And then one of the films, like the opening night film Icarus, and another film we're showing Thursday called The Reagan Show, they're both kind of part of this group of films that surfaced this year that are really kind of start giving some background information, kind of putting pieces together of kind of where we are politically right now. And this is one that kind of goes back and looks at Ronald Reagan, his presidency, and how he kind of brought publicity PR to the White House. He was the first president to have like the camera on him all the time, which
always
is
had the flag
standard.
Behind him.
He started that, and every president since has had that. So this film is all archival footage from that film team that was with him through his presidency. And it's fascinating to see it in the context of today. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah. That sounds awesome. Okay, those are both at the museum. But also, if you're out at AFI Silver Theater on Thursday, Mama Colonel?
Yeah, Mom. We have a great group of films about really incredible women. This is one of them. Mama Colonel is from the Democratic Republic of Congo, and it's a portrait of this police officer in the National Police who focuses on issues around women and children. And she is like a force. She's a colonel, and she has, you know, and she has like this truck that she and her like, you know, young men assistants, and they're all in uniforms. It's great. Drive around in this truck, and it's in French, but it's like, you know, has the word sex on the truck, and they're driving around. She's having very open and honest conversations with people out in remote villages about, you know, about sex and you know, abuse of women and abusing children. So it's really, she's just a great, great character doing really, really important work. And there's other films that are kind of in this group of kind of really wonderful, strong women is Dolores Huerta. We have a documentary on her, Whitney Houston, very interesting documentary on Whitney Houston. So a lot of great films about women.
So it's a running through line this year. Oh, that's cool. What else? On Thursday, if you're at E Street, Tough Guys.
It's kind of guy night at E Street on Thursday, I have to say.
That was a little bit of a jarring transition from the women's films to that.
So. Yeah, it's these things just kind of after we had like scheduled everything, it's like, whoa, wait a minute. We've got like guy night at the E Street on Thursday. So there's Tough Guys, which is kind of about the kind of founding of MMA. And then screening before that, Cage Fighter, another kind of boxing fight film. And also at the E Street on Thursday, competing with the guy movies, is the government overreach series. So you have a lot to
take
choose
your
from.
Pick, yeah.
Yeah, so those are two great films. No Man's Land, which is about the Malheur Federal Reserve confrontation, and then A Gray State, which is a really interesting, scary film about the making of a film that never got made.
Wow.
I'll leave it at that.
Oh, wow. I'm intrigued. All right, Friday. One of the big highlights every year is the Guggenheim Symposium. I remember last year, Werner Herzog was here, and we got to talk to him ahead of time, and that was freaking amazing. And I know we've had other people, Errol Morris, other people in the past. Who do we got this year? Are we allowed to say?
Yeah, we are. Okay. Laura Poitras.
Citizen 4.
Citizen 4, Risk, which just came out. She's been doing some really incredible, risky work the last several years. And so we felt it was a really good time to kind of look at the work she's doing. So she'll be here for the Guggenheim. Yeah.
Well, you and I know those movies, but explain to our listeners what, you know, Citizen 4 is. Snowden, Risk, you know, going to the movies.
Yeah, she, you know, kind of looked at kind of, you know, Edward Snowden, went to Hong Kong where he was and was, you know, interviewing him. And
she's there in the hotel room.
She's in the hotel, very. And then her latest film, Risk, is about Julian Assange. And it was a film that actually premiered at Cannes last year, so last May. And then it kind of disappeared. And it turned, you know, and then it's like, where'd it go? Well, things were moving so fast that summer with the campaign and WikiLeaks and all that going on that she said, no, I'm not done. Right. And so she's kind of redid the film.
So she reworked it, all of this stuff in.
Yeah, and she was working right up to the release in May just because, you know, it just, as we all know, it doesn't stop.
Well, we'll find more out every day.
Yeah.
So you could keep adding. It could be an ongoing documentary. Yeah. So Laura Poitras, one of the great voices in filmmaking and documentary filmmaking today. Go check her out at the Guggenheim Symposium. I am stoked to come check that out myself. In addition to the Guggenheim Symposium, we also have a huge sequel to a famous documentary, Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth, a couple years ago. Now it's called An Inconvenient Sequel,
Truth to Power. It's a follow-up film from Inconvenient Truth. And this was one of many films that we watched and that are in the festival, looking at them kind of post November election, it's you've got a totally different lens. And this was one of them of where, you know, yeah, this film was being made way before the election, but to see it on this side is a really, really interesting experience. And also it takes you through, you know, it the Paris Accords and Al Gore's role in securing that agreement, which I didn't know a lot about that, but you kind of, you're with Al Gore as he is making that agreement happen, which is pretty amazing.
Now, the first one, I believe it won the Oscar, didn't it?
Yeah.
But that was Davis Guggenheim.
Yeah.
We talked to him when the Malala doc was here. But this time it's different filmmakers, right?
How does
it differ, you know, stylistically?
It's, you know, Davis is a producer on it, and it was made by John Schenck and Bonnie Cohen, great filmmaking team from San Francisco. It's very up to date, and you're kind of more into, you know, how Al Gore does what he does and what he's been doing, you know, kind of in the last several years and how he is training the next generation to be activists and to be people that are making change on the planet. So he has like this whole like program of educating, you know, young people to be activists. And at the same time, he's doing that work himself in a huge way still.
Wow. So, I mean, yeah, we got to follow up. If you saw the first movie, you got to see where we are now. Or even if you missed the first movie, you know, this is the one where we're at now. So,
yeah.
Awesome. Also on Friday, New Chefs on the Block.
Right, a local film about...
I know Dustin Harrison Atlas. We went to AU together.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Great.
He's going to come in next week.
Great, good.
What's it about?
It's about two chefs. It's a foodie doc, which are really, you know, a really great documentary, and it's about, you know, two chefs in the D.C. area, and the chef behind Rose's Luxury.
Yeah, which is down on Barracks Row, right?
Yeah, and then Frankly Pizza. So two very different ones. I mean, it's like there's like a contrast because you have like the high end small. You can't get into a restaurant opening, and then you have the pizza joint, you know, which is very accessible and kind of where most people would probably go.
Well, that's going to be
And so it's just about, you know, the opening a restaurant, the how difficult that is and how they make it happen. So it's a great film.
So any foodies out there, check that one out. That's going to be awesome. Okay, cool. Also Friday at E Street, Rumble, the Indians Who Rock the World.
Yeah. It's a documentary about how Native Americans, you know, influenced rock and roll.
Which a lot of people might not know.
And
most
people, I was surprised. I can say there's, you know, of course, Buffy St. Marie's in it, but there's so many more musicians that you just like, really? Okay. And
awesome.
So it's a great film, you know, music docs, which are great. And it's we were really working this year to give audiences some escape, and we really wanted to make sure that there were a lot of films that were not about the world's blowing up.
You know? Right. You need a little release every now and then.
Yeah, so we made sure, and we have quite a few more of those type films, you know, music films, biographies, you know, experimental films, films that can just take you out of the real world for a little bit, for an hour and a half.
Right.
And this is one of them, great music doc.
Oh, that's great. Well, speaking of the world's problems, there's also Friday at E Street, Recruiting for Jihad. Mm. It's on the other side of it.
Yeah, Recruiting for Jihad is an amazing film and a filmmaker with just unprecedented access to, it's made in Norway, but kind of how people get recruited.
That's gonna be intense.
It's an amazing film and a lot of
how'd they get the access? Do we know?
You know, it's just, I mean, that's in the film, you know, of just
we won't spoil it.
So it's kind of like giving kind of, you know, there's the director of the film and then there's you know, another director who can, you know, I guess blend in more or kind of be accepted by that community, but that is one of the really amazing parts of it, of just how the trust or kind of letting somebody with a camera in that deep into how that all works.
Wow. Yeah. That's fascinating. Yeah. All right, moving on to Saturday, Museum Dolores.
Dolores Huerta, the legendary, incredible labor activist. And she's going to be here. Film's directed by Peter Brash.
She'll be there.
She'll be here.
At the screening.
She's going to be here.
Will there be a Q&A after?
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah. So Dolores Huerta will be at the festival. Just an amazing woman. And again, a film where it's like I learned, you know, you think you know somebody. And it's there are even things in this film that in my head connect back to our current president.
Are you allowed to share any of those, or you got to see it? You got to see it.
Yeah, you got to see it. But okay. But it's just a really great biography of her and her life. And
it's a real coup that you have her coming. That's amazing.
It's great.
That's going to be awesome.
I can't wait.
All right, guys, don't miss that one. Definitely to actually see her there in the flesh. That's going to be great. Also Saturday at the museum, right after. So after you see Dolores, stick around and you can see, you mentioned it earlier, Whitney.
Yeah.
Can I Be Me?
Whitney Houston. A great documentary about her. A lot of footage that's kind of like, you know, backstage footage, kind of home movie kind of footage of her.
Is it kind of like the Amy Winehouse doc? A similar look to Whitney?
Yeah, it is. And you get the great performance and the great artist she was. There's it's goosebump material of kind of her performing and singing. And so there's that. But there's also this background stuff on her life that, you know, things that you kind of heard about, like rumors or, you know, like about her. And you learn a lot about her in this film.
So you get a whole portrait of her from the genius, the diva, the whole public persona, and also a lot of the behind the scenes.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a great, it's kind of in that guilty pleasure kind of thing. It's just a great biography and with great music.
Like you said, the music docs. You got to have it.
Yeah,
No, that's great. Awesome. Also Saturday at E Street, and it's again Sunday, a little encore at AFI Silver, the world premiere of Atomic Homefront.
Yeah, this is a great film, world premiere, about it, it's one of several films that are from and about St. Louis in the festival, which is another interesting thing of kind of how films come together every year. But this is about an atomic waste dump that, you know, where waste was dumped there like decades ago and just kind of forgotten. And
in St. Louis?
Yeah. And in the interim, like, suburbs grow up. And so there are suburbs right next to this place. And
so that was what was off screen of Meet Me in St. Louis. Cling, cling, cling went the trolley.
Yeah, yeah. So it's about, you know, about people in the neighborhood that is adjacent to this dump.
That's awesome.
Becoming, you know, activists to kind of, you know, protect their lives and their community. So it's a great activist film.
A lot of them probably didn't even know that was there.
No, you know, but he knew, and then trying to find out, you know, and then, you know, like, who's responsible.
Yeah.
It's just, it's an environmental film, but one of those, like, we definitely messed this up at some point in the past.
Right. Let's not do it
again. Who's responsible for cleaning it up?
Oh, that's so great. Yeah. All right. Well, check that out. That's called Atomic Homefront. And then a lot of other great movies throughout, but let's touch on the closing night screening, Year of the Scab by John Dorsey.
Yeah. Well, we're kind of opening and closing with sports films, which that was also unintentional, but this is a great sports movie about the NFL strike, players strike in the 1980s. And
we should explain that scab is a term for
scab
the replacement players.
Yeah, replacement players, scab labor that came in to play the games while the players were on strike. Mm-hmm. And it's a great David and Goliath story. You know, I remember that happening, but this gives you, like, what was really happening, you know, kind of with the Washington Redskins, how they dealt with
it. One of our first Super Bowls was, I think, began as a scab season, wasn't
it? Yes, right. That's the season in the film. That's
of course,
the
they
season.
Came back, but at the end, it ran Riggins and everyone, when they won the Super Bowl. Yeah. But a lot of people forget it started off as a strike season.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And, yeah,
so crazy.
And that's and that, you know, I didn't remember that, but I they make that, it's a one season you're seeing in the film, and it's great. And the stars are the scab players, and many of them are, you
so
know,
are they
in
getting
the
interviewed?
Film.
They're interviewed?
Oh, yeah,
oh,
they're in
so
the
great.
Film. And their stories are, like, amazing of, like, you know, what they, you know, why, you know, where do you go if you need scab football players? You
yeah,
know?
That's
like,
true.
Who do you pick?
Like, what
do you
what
go?
Was it? Like semi-pro players or people that were on practice squads?
Yeah,
or?
Like, you know, and they were like, you know, one guy is like, you know, a real estate developer working in an office who, you know, maybe played one season somewhere.
Hey, you want to play for the Redskins?
Yeah, and another, well, I don't want to spoil it, but they have great backstories, yeah, these guys.
The interesting thing to me is, so you're talking about sort of the rags to riches. Hey, now you're playing professional football for, you know, the NFL. But the other, then it's the riches back to rags because they have to go back. You know,
yes.
The players come back. So
strike's over.
That's what I want to hear about. Yeah. And that's going to be the cool part of that.
Yeah, thing. Yeah, that's
like what they went back. Did they just go back to the real estate, or, you know, what did they?
They did. I mean, and that's where the kind of real, kind of drama is in the film of, like, what happened to them when they left. Yeah. And the other thing I didn't know too is that I thought it was like an even playing field, so to speak. But you know, they're in this game with the Dallas Cowboys, and surprise, the Dallas Cowboys didn't go out on strike. So they're like. You know,
playing Roger
Staubach.
Yeah,
you know, and Cowboys, you know, Cowboys
versus
Stadium.
Johnny from Real Estate.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fantastic.
And they win.
Yes, inspirational. Yeah. Are any of the scabs going to be there at AFI?
Yeah.
They will?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Q&A?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. All right, I got to come to that one. Yeah. I've said that like about 10 movies here, but that's you always do such a great job of programming them. So, Michael, thanks so much. Is there anything else you want to say? I mean, I know we're gonna have we're gonna run this, you know, at the first, you know, right at the top of the festival, but then we're gonna have Cycle and a bunch of filmmakers. They're gonna, I know Matthew Heineman, Cartel Lands coming in again for what's his Ghost,
City of Ghosts.
City of Ghosts.
Yeah,
a bunch of people are gonna come in, so we're excited for that. But before we cut you loose, anything else you want to say? Just in general, overall, why should folks come out to AFI Docs?
It's a great way to see movies. I mean, just indulge yourself for 5 days, get a pass. You can don't have to worry about what you're going to go see. If something interests you, walk into the next theater. And there's such a diverse range of films. And again, I just, you know, I want to emphasize the escape and kind of want to, you know, I mean, because you can escape in a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. You can go to another country on the other side of the globe. You can learn about somebody who you had no idea existed on the planet. And you can even go, like, to the ends of the universe at the festival. So there's a lot you can do. You can actually, we're doing a group of VR works that are showcased in the festival. And one of the VRs is called People's House, which is inside the Obama White House with Barack and Michelle. So if you really kind of want to get nostalgic...
They're guiding you through the
world.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Oh, wow. And VR. So you can come check out.
How does this work? VR? Where do we go for the VR? Is it at the museum?
VR is at the Festival Hub on Saturday. Open to all pass holders. Yeah.
Where's the Festival Hub?
Festival Hub is at the District Architecture Center on 7th Street.
So show up to the District Architecture Center and you'll have VR headsets that they
headsets,
can put on.
Yeah. And there's 9 different VR pieces that we're showcasing. Yeah.
Wow.
I think there'll be a line for the White House one.
I would say. But it's easier than waiting at the White House to get in. So there you go. Wow. All right. Bringing the film festivals into the 21st century. I like this, Michael. Thank you. Cool.
Yeah,
thanks so much for coming in. That was great.
Thank you.